All right. I don't know if you can see his top left. Top left. Does it say recording?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, very good. Yes. Okay, then I ask again, okay?
All right.
What exactly is enlightenment?
Well, I told you before.
Yes.
As I did say before, it is a very complicated word, and it means different things to different people. But for me, it is about seeing who you really are, and that is me seeing I'm empty, headless, space for the world. And so that isn't really an achievement of Richard. It isn't an achievement of Richard. It is me seeing I'm not Richard. I'm space for the world, including Richard on the screen and Detlef and everybody else. And so the thing about this, which is important, is that it is accessible to everyone. You just have a look. That's the power of the Headless Way experiments. It's direct experience. And
yes,
when
yes.
you see it, you realize you can't have degrees. It's the same for us all. But our responses to seeing this and being this are different. And you can show anyone this because no one can see their own head. But whether or not it means something to someone, you can't predict, really. And if it doesn't mean anything to someone, they've still got the experience, but they won't be interested in it, so they won't carry on with it. But I came across this in a workshop with Douglas Harding when I was 17, and it meant something to me. I was looking for this before I went to the workshop. And it just rang true, and I very quickly realized the experiments were just unique and powerful. And I could go on and on, but I think you've got other questions.
Yes. The experiments are very powerful and easy too, very simple. But then I have friends and they ask, but why it is so simple? And when I ask other teachers or when I go to Buddhistic teachers, they say you need 1,000 lives and it's very difficult and only a few people on the world can be enlightened. They ask, is it really the same enlightenment? This is,
yes.
They ask me.
Yes. Well, you see, one of the several points there, one of them that the Headless Way follows really is that you're the authority.
Yeah,
and
you
are the authority on what it's like to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the only one way, right where you are at zero distance, and everyone else is distant, looking at you from a distance. And they can tell you what you look like, but they have no authority to say what you are at zero distance. So this the Headless Way brings authority back to you and not leaves it out there with some teacher or scripture. Who knows if they're right or wrong? There's no way of knowing. But what can be a kind of reference point is your own direct experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at my own experience, I look here and I see I'm empty. And there are no degrees of that. You know, if you say, well, is that the real thing or not? I mean, there's nothing to compare it with. You know, you can't get more clear or less clear. I only see one. I can't compare it with anyone else.
Yes.
So in that way, it undercuts this kind of wondering if you've got it or not, and being under the thumb of a guru or a scripture, they tell you 1,000 lives, that's telling you never, for all the intents and purposes. And I just say, well, all right, but that's not my experience. And so the thing is, though, that I think what they perhaps mean is, well, if you're seeing this, how deeply has this affected you? You know, that's what I would say, because when you see this and you keep seeing this, then the thing is that it will affect your life, and it will, you know, gradually filter into every aspect of your life. And the whole point, really, when you wake up to this, is to live from it. And living from it is bringing your attention back here to the nothingness, which is full, and then seeing what happens and what unfolds from here. So it's not following a program. It's a sort of something of an adventure. But, you know, everyone's response and experience will be different. And I think what happens is you start to gain confidence that what you are exploring and discovering when you live from here is authentic and is your unique path and doesn't have to, I mean, it does fit into general themes such as, you know, the themes of surrender to who you really are. But the idea, for example, that you can reach a state of absolute surrender, I think is nonsense.
Oh, yes.
Because my at least it is for me, you see, and it is for all my friends. The idea, because as I look out, the space is absolutely surrendered because it hasn't, it puts nothing in the way of the present moment. So there is a place in you, and the most important place, which is totally surrendered. That's your true nature. But in terms of my response to things, I am always moving between surrender and resistance. And this is natural and normal and sane and healthy. And the recognition that this rhythm, first of all, you can't get rid of it. And secondly, why would you want to? It's life. The recognition that this rhythm is natural and normal and okay actually means you can relax. You know, you're not trying to turn yourself into something you can never be.
Oh yes, very nice. Yes. This is a very down-to-earth answer.
Yes,
very nice.
It's realistic. This is, and it fits in with, you know, with psychology and our understanding about human nature and common sense. You know, the idea that you can reform your human nature, you know, the bigger, I tell you, I think one of the biggest contributions of psychotherapy and psychology is that you cannot reform your human nature. That, in other words, like Jung said, you have a shadow. And the right? And healthy psychological awareness is that you've got a shadow. And the biggest kind of delusion is that you haven't got one, or you can get rid of it. See? But now, you see, when you awaken to who you really are has no shadow.
That's
where you find the purity. But you look out into your human nature and everyone else's, and it's full of light and shadow. This is life.
Yes, it's life, yes. Okay, yes, very good, very good. Can I, the second question?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about your enlightenment?
Well, there again, you see, my enlightenment was, you know, if you want to call it that, which I never do, but if you want to call it that, it was the moment when I first pointed back here. But, you know, you point back here and you see what's always been.
Yes.
And seeing it now is as if it's the first time. I mean, I can't remember nothing. I can't remember nothingness, awareness. You just are it. So, you know, the first time really is now. And this, you know, people say, well, how can I be aware of this all the time? It's a paradox. It's just, it's not in time. It's just now. After a while, you realize, oh, that's the most brilliant thing. I can only be aware of it now. I don't have to worry about the rest of it.
Yes. Oh, yes. Very good. Okay, the next question. If you could recommend only one spiritual technique to reach enlightenment. Which technique would you recommend?
Have a look for your face.
Hmm. Have a look for your face, huh?
Yes. Attention. Attention here and now to what it's like to be you. Can you see your own face now? Well, no, you can't, you see. Instead, you see this open space full of the world, which is your single eye, you see. Well, that's who you really are. So, and that is available anytime, and you don't have to go off to a cave or have a master or read Sanskrit. You look, this is natural. This is for everyone. This is for everyone. No one on the planet can see their own head.
No one.
Not even the animals and ants and birds. Everyone, for themselves, is looking out of this open space. Well, I mean, you know, why go on? Why mess around? You know, trying to change things before you get here. No, just get here. Just look, and then see how your life unfolds. People, you know, indicate that you've got to do this or that before you see who you are. Wrong. Mm-hmm. You're done. Wrong. Mm-hmm. I say wrong from my own experience, but I don't say you have to believe me. I say test it. Can you see your own head? And if someone says, yeah, but that's not enlightenment, I say, well, you know, call it what you like. It's true.
Yes.
And it's world-shaking because, you know, when you look at me, you see my face and not yours. Whose face do you have? Well, you have Richard's and I have yours.
That's all. Yes.
We're trading faces. This revolutionizes relationships because it turns I am not you into I am you.
Mm-hmm. But now when I see the two screens, I have two faces.
So yes, you do.
I have my face and your face on the...
Yes.
On my computer screen. Huh?
Yeah, so do I. And you have two voices, Richard's and Detlef's, right?
Yes.
In one consciousness, right?
Yes.
You only experience one consciousness.
Yes.
So here, it's as if the one is pretending at being two. I mean, very well. We feel there are two here, yet there's only one. This is the one talking to itself.
Yes. Very good. Okay, the next question.
How am I doing? Am I passing the test?
That's right. You make very, very good. Very, very good. Very clear, very easy to understand everything.
Yes. That's a relief.
Yes.
I've been practicing for 45 years.
Yes. But this is... for me, the big advantage of the Heatless Way, that it is really very easy to see, and this is really from the teaching itself. It was like, I mean, many teachers try to show to the devotees or the seekers their true nature, but then Douglas Harding...
He just goes...
Yes, it's very, very good idea, huh, that he makes about this.
It's brilliant. I mean, brilliant. It is a breakthrough. It's brilliant. I mean, if you know, all right, the truth is brilliant, but then but the second thing is, how do you share it? If you can't share it, it's sad. You know, you've got something that's brilliant, but you can't share it. Well, Douglas found a way of sharing it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that is a breakthrough in human history. You've got to say. I mean, we're sharing it now, as easy as pie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a next question. Maybe it's a little bit difficult question. Okay. If you could recommend three spiritual techniques to reach enlightenment, which technique would you recommend?
Well, the last question was one.
Yes, and now three.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, the experiments, pointing, single eye, turning and being still, face to no face, close your eyes, how big are you? I mean, there's a thousand, well, not a thousand, but there's a lot. And so they come at different from different angles to the same place. You know, do that, my hands disappear into nothing.
You know? Yes, yes.
Yes, there you are, you see. There, that's communicating that open space. Now we both know exactly what we're talking about. So, I mean, single eye, pointing, turning, face to no face is a very powerful one because...
Yes, very powerful. I think, yes. Last time at your workshop, we made...
Tube.
And this was very powerful because I see, oh, yes, really, huh? On my side, there's only space, but on the other side, there was a face.
Yeah.
It's very, yes.
Yeah, you can't deny it. I mean, you can't see two faces in the tube.
Mm-hmm. But the point is, of the thing is that to believe this, because the impact means that everything is different. Because before I thought I'm a person and I'm inside my head and I'm looking out of my two eyes, but now suddenly I don't have a head. And yes, where are my eyes? Where's my head?
Yes.
This is, the world now is totally different.
Yes. So you see, when Douglas Harding saw this first, well, he had been thinking about it and working out things for a long time. But when he saw this, it's not the end, it's the beginning in a way, because then at one level, you have to work out how this experience fits in with your previous view of yourself, don't you? You have to somehow come to terms with the fact, for example, that you have no head, but everyone else sees one.
Yes, yes.
Right. So the social view, the public view and the private view, the first person, the third person. And so when you see this, it's likely that it will raise a lot of questions. And the one reason I think why people say, well, okay, but so what, is that they're so conditioned to see themselves only from outside that they can't accept the reality of the inside view, the validity of it. They just dismiss it because the social view doesn't see it. But if you do kind of say, well, of course, my view is as valid as your view of me. My view of me, which is nothing, full of everything, is just as valid as your view. You know, let's even put it on equal footing. Well, then you say, well, okay, how do I come to understand how that works out, which is what that model, you see, this model is one of Douglas's ways of working out, at several feet I'm a human being, but come up to me and I'm cells and molecules and atoms, and further away I'm a city and a planet.
Oh, yes. So
in other words, I've got layers. It's relativity, depending on where you look at me from, right?
Yes, very nice. Huh?
Yes, you see. So now this this is now in a modern context beginning to make sense of this enlightenment. The thing with many of these teachers is they are coming from a pre-scientific tradition, right? So they have not really kind of integrated that with modern society, right? I mean, they're doing it, you know, more or less. But what the Headless Way does, what Douglas did, was he started with the modern view that you science observes trust the evidence of your senses, you see. How do you work that out? Well, that's what Douglas, when he saw this, I mean, it took him 10 years to kind of work out how this fitted in, more or less, with science's view of the world. In that way, when you see this, you personally really have to now begin to kind of connect the dots and really living from this is a continual unfolding of what it means and whether it makes sense and how it works out in relationships and how it fits in with the great traditions and what you think about spiritual authority and, you know, what it's like to relate to another person like you and me from the one space. All this is an adventure unfolding. It's not following a program. This is why it's so much fun and so interesting and so genuine.
It's very interesting. Yes, very nice.
I've forgotten what your question was.
Sorry. but you already answered my question. It was about three
techniques. Oh, yeah, three
techniques. Yes. But you have so many good techniques, so it's easy to mention three techniques.
Yes.
So again, there's a similar question. If you could recommend one technique against anxiety, which technique would you recommend?
All right. So, I mean, it's essentially the same, but if I hold my hand up and look at it, I see I am space capacity for the shape and color of my hand. Mm-hmm. Now, when I pay attention to the sensation of my hand, I am aware the sensation is in the space. It's happening in this space that I am. Now, try this. Do it with me. If you make your hand into a fist, then your fist gets tense. Now, does the space get tense?
No.
All right? So relax. So you've just done an experiment and discovered that although your body gets tense, the space doesn't. Right?
Yes.
Your body gets stressed, but the space doesn't. You feel anxious. Does the space get anxious? No. So now you've discovered that you are not trapped in your anxiety. You're observing it from this anxiety-free space. This is not a technique that you can get good at. It is just the way you're built. At center, you're free of the anxiety. That's the bottom line. Now, does it make a difference when you're feeling anxious to be aware of this anxiety-free space? Yes, it does. But it may take a little while, you know, and it may not do it exactly the way you want it to. But, you know, the alternative is not drawing on this resource within you, which is free. You just ignore it and just try and cope with your anxiety. Well, why not bring into the picture this space that is still and free and at peace, really? The other thing is that we think of anxiety central, that we've got it in a box here and the world is out there. But when you see that you're not in a box, the anxiety is kind of placed out there as part of the world. So it's not kind of in, it's at large. Now that makes a difference. You know, you're it kind of has room to breathe. And you're kind of sobering up to the truth that you are free. Now, take the rest of your life, really, to digest that.
Very nice. Yeah, very, very nice. Okay, very nice.
Because, you see, when you're a baby, you're not in a body yet for yourself. You're at large.
Yes.
You're as big as the world. You have no concept of a box here. And growing up is, as it were, going outside yourself and seeing yourself from outside, like through the camera, and identifying with being that image, you see. And so then you think that all your sensations and feelings and thoughts are in this box. So you kind of grab them and kind of imagine them here and hold them to yourself, you see. All right? Well, you have to do that to join society and take responsibility for yourself as an individual. But now when you see privately you're not in a box, you kind of let all that go back out there into the world, you see. And it's very good for you physically. You know, you feel big again like you did when you were an infant. This is very... Yeah, very healthy physically.
Oh, mm-hmm. Ah, very nice. Huh? This is a very, very helpful and good answer. I mean, the next question you already answered, but
ask it anyway.
I ask you, can everybody reach enlightenment?
Yes. You see, if you define it in these terms, which I do, you know, enlightenment is turning your attention around from just looking out to being aware of the place you're looking out of, which is now. Who can't do that? You have no excuse. As soon as you come across the headless way, and you do an experiment, from that moment on, really, you've no excuse because now you know where to look, and you can't do it wrong. Now, you may choose not to look. It might not be what you want to do. It might not be your cup of tea. Which, is fine. But really, I would say, but you can't say you can't do it. You're just choosing not to do it.
Yes.
And this is very healthy because then you don't develop this idea that some have got it and some don't, and some are in and some are out, and they're halfway there and you're the whole way there, or you're halfway there and they're the whole way there. No, it's equal, it's non-hierarchical, it's open, it's free, it's democratic in a way, you know, it's absolutely available. And it's just a matter of choice. And I have no sense that, if someone chooses not to be aware of this, they're doing anything wrong. You know, it's just that's the way it is for them coming out the void. So, this is very inclusive. You don't, you're seeing you're not in a separate group.
Yes.
Including the group of those who are enlightened. There isn't. Enlightenment is seeing you're not in a group.
Yes, very nice, very good. The next question is, why are not more people enlightened? What are the obstacles for the seekers?
What are the obstacles? Well, I think two things come to mind. One is that in the past, people have not had this headless way technology which enables people to communicate it directly, you see. So you'd have someone who's got it, but, how did they share it? Well, I mean, they say, hang around and hopefully you'll get it, but you might not, I don't know how I got it. I just hope you get it, or sit for 30 years and maybe you'll get it, but maybe you won't. Now, I think, all the best will in the world was behind that, probably. But now we have this technology, which is changing things. And other things are changing it too. For example, technology. Like now we can just communicate about it just like that via the video. Well, we have several meetings a week that are free. Which means, and we've got websites and we've got videos. So we are doing our bit to share this technology because the thing that stops people seeing this is they don't know about it. That's all. That's all. I mean, that is all. It's not that they haven't meditated enough or they're not pure enough or, whatever they have done. 10 years of therapy or, they were walking down the right road at the right time and the sun came out and something dropped on their foot and they woke up. No, it's just no one has shown them that it's there, and you can look and see.
Yes. I think when I show this to some friends, the problem of the heatless way is its simplicity, and my friends have different expectations about enlightenment. They know stories like from Eckhart Tolle or from Byron Katie or from Ramana Maharishi, and then they woke up and they were in bliss for, I don't know, years or months or something like this. But this heatless way is different.
It is different. And you see, this is where it appeals to your own experience, and that is the authority, not Ramana or Baron Katie or whoever it is. Yes. This is radical. This is asking you to put aside what all those people are telling you, because you don't know 100% that they're right, and looking for yourself and taking what you get. And what you get is not instant bliss, in a sense. It's I mean, some people do, but, you know, that can be a hindrance because they can get attached to that. What you get is the plain, direct experience that you're empty for the world. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got 1,000 expectations, see, well, you know, you're not doing yourself a service. You've got, you won't accept unless it fits in with your preconceptions. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that isn't really very smart.
but this is
if any of your friends
this is life, this is life.
I apologize.
So yes. Yes, but this is normal, huh? I mean, for me it's normal. I
know, but the other thing is that is the fact that this experience is neutral. And like, you know, a scientific observation, you know, does the heavy stone fall quicker than the light stone? Well, climb the Tower of Pisa and throw them both off and see. Don't debate, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's you know, that isn't dependent on how you feel or whether it makes you feel good. You're just an observation. It's the same with seeing who you are. Have a look now to see what you are at zero distance. Look, don't think about it. Look. Now, there it is. That's it, you see. Now, does that necessarily make you feel better? Not necessarily, you see. But the thing about it is that this is available now anytime you want. It's not dependent on whether you feel good or whether the conditions fit. No, you might feel depressed, but you still look here. So actually, what seems to be its disadvantage, its neutrality and its simplicity, is its huge advantage.
Yes, yes. But in my experience, it is when I make the looking, then it is not like bliss or something like that, but very subtle, I feel a little bit better.
Yes.
Because in this moment, when I'm looking, I'm not in my thoughts and not in my mind, but I'm just looking, and then, yes, I feel better.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
I mean, not so much, but not now.
Yes, totally. You know, I mean, to wake up to this place that reveals that you're not in the world is in you, that you're not separate from anything, that you were never born and you'll never die, you know?
Yes.
I mean, Douglas Harding, you know, I forget where it was, you know, he used to, you know, it's very funny. He used to say, you know, people say, you know, I say, well, look where you are and you'll discover you're the source. You know, everything comes out of you. You were never born, you'll never die. Everyone's face is your own. You never moved an inch. Everything moves in you. Mm-hmm. And then someone says, and what else?
Yes.
Well, you're hard to please.
And what else? This is very, very lovely.
The discovery of who you are is the reward itself, really. But I mean, from it flows benefits in every aspect of your life. Now, if you want to find out what those are, you know, there's a huge literature now through Douglas and Friends and the website, and also test it out and find out for yourself. That's the main thing.
Yes.
I've been doing it for a long time. Not that that gives me any qualification to tell anyone else, but just that I know it works. I can't prove it. I don't have to, but you know, and all my friends who've been doing it, We know it works. We know it's true. We know it's good. You know, I mean, we're all right.
Since you are enlightened, what has changed in everyday life?
Since you are enlightened.
This is a question, huh?
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, right now I'm talking to you, and we're understanding each other at a very deep level. I don't know much about you personally, and you don't know much about me, and you're in Germany and I'm in England, and there are 1,000 things that we don't know about each other and would probably disagree on. But our true nature, you're looking out of the space, I'm looking out the same space. So there are two, but there are one. Now, so in this present moment, I say, well, that's an amazing benefit from this. That now in this space is Detlef and Richard having a conversation about the space. Wild. So I say, what benefit is this? Well, I look in the present moment and see how it's benefiting me. And, there's something happening in the space. There's something happening in the space. There's not just nothing, there's something. Well, amazing. I mean, there is something happening that is just a gift.
Yes.
So I say, I acknowledge there's something that, and then needn't be. And I say, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how I am, but I am self-evidently. And I just say, a combination of wow and thank you, really. And how exciting and how brilliant. So, don't now say, and what else? That's your next question.
This is a question you already answered too, but is a guru or teacher necessary for a seeker to become enlightened?
Well, I think I have answered it, but you see, everyone is different. And I have, in a way, I have had my gurus, and in a way, everyone is my guru. And this present moment is my guru. As who you are, nothing. And the present moment is a kind of ongoing delivery of what you need. It's your guru, it's your teacher, I, on the other hand, I don't need to put my trust in an outside authority in the sense that seeing who you really are is looking for yourself, and you realize, no one else can confirm it for you, and no one else can see it for you. I think Douglas had a lovely phrase. He says, now you don't go to the scriptures or to the gurus to see if you have got it right. You go to the scriptures and the gurus to see if they've got it right.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's good. Yes.
Yes. Any other, doing the first is handing your life over and on a never-ending wild goose chase. But doing the second is coming home. This is sane. This is not pride. This is humility.
Very good. So these were the questions. Thank you very, very much. You answer very helpful and very... Yes, very, very down to earth answers, and very good. Can I ask one further question?
Yeah, I'm not in a hurry. Just as you like, Detlef. It's a delight to talk to you. Really, a delight.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Yes. You said before. You said other people see. So I don't see my face, but other people see my face. Mm-hmm. And then I think when I stick to direct experience, then I don't know if other people see my face.
No.
You understand?
Yes, because, I do. This is very important.
Yes, because maybe it's like a dream that everybody are just dream persons. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. This is a not uncommon question or worry or anxiety even. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you have to work this out for yourself, but I'll tell you the way I worked it out.
Yes.
When you see who you are, you see there's no head here. And that's, you don't need anyone's outside confirmation about that. Now, what that leads to is realizing, you know, for example, that the only consciousness you have direct experience of is your own. And so actually, I have no direct evidence that Detlef is conscious.
Yes.
Or can, therefore, the whole idea of my face, which you're telling me I've got, I can't be sure of, you know, or the past, you know, 10 minutes ago is just an idea in consciousness, or the idea of Germany for me is an idea in consciousness. In fact, the only thing I can be sure of is this, you know, single eye floating in nothing, and there are no others, you see.
Yes.
There is no self, and all that kind of thing, you know, like... So then I had to, however, come to terms with the fact that although I could see this, and I could see the very obvious thing that all the great teachers talk about, which is I am alone. See, there's only one consciousness. I am alone. See, and then I am aware, you know, that I still feel like Richard. And I still feel that Detlef is over there in Germany talking to me through the internet.
Yes, right now.
No. So then I had to come to terms or accept that although I, and I still feel I'm Richard, I still feel I'm separate from you, even though I can see I'm not. You see? Right? That's the same thing. I still feel I've got a face, even though I can't see it. See, so... I think either I'm doing something wrong, you know, I've still got this idea I'm separate, even though I can see I'm not, right? And so I somehow need to kind of work on myself and get rid of myself and get rid of the idea of others, you know, because somehow I am not really being who I really am. Or I say to myself, well, I am being who I am. I'm doing nothing wrong. I'm doing it perfectly. Yet at the same time, I'm acting as if I'm Richard and you're Detlef, right?
So I think
to myself, well, maybe actually this is exactly the right thing, that I am the one that I have somehow in my life conjured up this idea of me and you. Because when I was a baby, I didn't have that idea of me and you.
Yes.
So actually, in my very life, I started as the one without the idea of myself and you. And during my life, within this unchanging openness, has arisen this idea of me and you and Australia and tomorrow. Now, for a time, I got so entranced with that, I forgot who I was, so to speak. And I just became Richard and related to others like this. Now that I'm seeing I am this one, I see that as well as being this one, I am also profoundly conditioned to see myself as Richard. Right?
Yes.
So, but does... seeing myself as Richard and you as Detlef stop me seeing who I really am? Well, no, it doesn't. It's just this feeling of separation now, which I might have now, is arising within the space. So just as this tensing my hand doesn't affect who I am, so the kind of feeling of self-consciousness doesn't affect who I am.
Right?
So what I thought, you know, for a time was me making a mistake, you know, identifying with Richard, see, and therefore I was resisting. Now when I say, oh no, it's not a mistake, it's actually a really beautiful development in consciousness, this, so that the one has a feeling of others. Right? So I can talk to you genuinely, you know, as if you're other, and at the same time see there's only one consciousness. So now I, instead of feeling that that was a mistake and I was making a mistake and doing something wrong, now I say, no, no, this is coming out the one. This is flowing, this feeling of diversity and separation and distance is arising within the one. And it's what the one wants. And when I kind of work that out, that's one of the work things, you know, a deep central thing that I think we all have to work out, really. When I kind of work that out in my own way, then I shifted basically from resisting it and thinking I was doing something wrong to welcoming. And realizing this was exactly what I really, really wanted. And so then, although nothing changes, everything changes, you see. Now I say, well, you know, I'm 100% sure I don't have a face, but I accept that for you and everyone else, and in my own self-image, I do. And I've got both.
Yeah, interesting, yes. Yes, Douglas Harding said once that when you have, when you near to the highest truth, everything is paradoxical.
Well, I'd go with that. Because you see, when you think that the truth is in words, then you have to try and define it and come down on one side or the other. So either there is one or there isn't, right? But when you realize that, that you've got the experience, whatever you think about it, and it's non-verbal, non-conceptual, non-emotional, you don't have to feel or think a particular way about it, you relax. And then you can entertain the paradoxes, you see, and you're not trying to work out which end of the paradox is the right one. You say, no, no, both have their place, you see, and kind of nourish each other in a way. You know? So I would say Douglas was right.
This is very surprising now for me.
Well, I didn't always think he was right.
Yes. But for me, if this is a question I have long time ago, and then I think from my direct experience, I don't know if other people exist, really exist.
You don't.
I don't know, but this is not, I don't worry about it. If other people don't exist, this is kind of relaxing for me, because then I think this is a dream and the other people not real. And then I don't have to, I don't know, be very friendly or charming or something like this. I can just be as I am. And this is, yes, because the other people don't exist.
Yeah.
This is kind of relaxing for me.
It is. Oh, yeah, I understand. But you kind of act as if they do.
Yes, yes, yes.
Douglas talked about the as-is world and the as-if world. The as-is world, there's no others.
Ah.
But the as-if world is there are.
Ah.
Ah. The as-is world, there isn't a, you know, my hands disappear. I've lost my hands, now they appear. Mm-hmm. As if world is, well, I'm going to act as if they're still there.
Ah, yes, yes. Oh, this is very nice, yes. Very interesting. Oh, okay, yes. Oh, okay, yes. Very good. Very good answer. Yes. Ah, it was very, very nice to talk to you. And
do you want to keep this private or can I share it? I don't mind. If you want to keep it private, it's fine. But if it's okay to share it, you know, put it on YouTube, I would. But it doesn't really matter. You know, it's up to you.
No, you can share it.
Oh, brilliant.
Of course. Yes.
Well, everyone knows who I am. Do you want to say who you are? And I mean, a great project, Detlef, and just marvelous to see you again. And
I don't understand the first part of your question. So you said, can you say again?
Okay, so you're doing this as a part of your project.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And you're recording it, so for whatever purposes, that's fine with me. I have enjoyed our conversation, and you've raised some really good points. So I could share it more widely through YouTube. But if you don't want to do that, it doesn't matter. Pardon?
No, you can share it.
Okay.
You can share it. This is yes, of course.
I think people would love to see the conversation, and because you've raised such very good questions. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, it was for me a very big pleasure to listen to you, because you very you have a very high energy about this one, and you like to talk about this, and you very enthusiasm. Is this the right word?
Enthusiastic. Yes.
Yes. This is very very nice for me as a listener that you talk.
Yes, and I feel that, you know, delight because you're sharing the space, and we've developed our friendship a bit. You know, 10 years.
Yes.
Short break in our conversation. <you know. laughs>
Yes.
Okay, brilliant.
Okay.
I'll just format this and then send you it.
Oh, perfect. Very good. Perfect. And if you want to have the questions, I can send to you.
Oh, they're all there. That's fine. I don't need them. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. Okay, I'll stop recording. Lovely to see you.
Yes, okay, thank you.